Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor lift, brings you Night Editor. As the presses roll, we join Hal Burdick in the Night Editor's office for another of his newsroom yarns. Tonight, a delightfully humorous story titled, Boomerangs Do Come Back.
His arm drew back, swung forward in a mighty heave. The boomerang soared into the air, end over end, then flattened, whirling out of sight as it described definitely a great curve. Horace Twining uttered a cry of delight. It worked! Then he had a sinking sensation. The boomerang had made a curve all right, but it was never coming back to him. It was headed for Judge Appleby's house across the street.
Friends, tonight I've got some good news for you coffee lovers, especially if you like to use a Silex or other glass vacuum-type coffee maker. Yes, right now you can get Edwards coffee in a special new grind, pulverized, specially prepared by the Edwards people for you folks who use Silex or other glass vacuum-type coffee makers. It makes wonderful coffee, this new Edwards pulverized grind, and it's really economical. But remember, no matter whether you choose the new pulverized grind or the regular or drip grinds, the important thing is that Edwards coffee brings you that grand extra flavor lift. Because it's an exclusive blend of Latin America's choicest coffees, carefully blended and roasted the careful, custom way, according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula. Try a pound. If you're not thoroughly satisfied, your money refunded. Edwards coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Well, the Suburban Home Edition has been put to bed, and with a few minutes respite before time to start working on the next edition, Bobby has left his desk and strolled over to Hal's office in the far corner of the newsroom with the usual question on his mind.
Hey, you going out for coffee, Hal?
Well, I got to wait for proof on some changes in the big boss ordered in our page one editorial. It won't be long. Sit down, rest yourself.
Hey, what the dickens is that thing on your desk?
Oh, what does it look like?
Well, it looks like a boomerang.
Well, that's what it is.
But how come? Where'd you get it? What's it doing here?
Yeah, my nephew brought it to me from Australia, Bobby.
Boomerang. Yeah. Hey, let's give it a toss and see if it'll come back.
No, you don't. One of those things is a dangerous weapon in the hands of an inexperienced person, my boy. As my friend Horace Twining once discovered.
And what happened to Horace Twining?
A terrifying and amazing experience. Oh, you couldn't get him to touch one of the things. To this day, he isn't certain that boomerangs aren't alive.
Hey, what are you trying to hand me anyway?
Well, let me tell you about Horace, Bobby. It all began at the dinner table the night of Horace Jr.'s 6th birthday, as the youngster began unwrapping his presents. As he tore the paper from one sent by his Uncle Ed, who had a way of always selecting the unusual, Mrs. Twining's eyes widened. What on earth is that thing? Horace picked it up. Well, I'll be darned. It's a boomerang. Boomerang. Mrs. Twining sniffed contemptuously. Don't be silly. Boomerang is an Australian animal that hops around on its hind legs and carries its young in a pouch. Horace looked at her as one looks at a child that must be set to rights with parental patience. You're thinking of a kangaroo, my dear. A boomerang is an aboriginal weapon. Oh, well, what's it good for? Oh, you throw it at something and it comes back to you. Oh, Horace Twining, you ought to be ashamed of yourself telling such stories in front of your child. But a few minutes later, while Junior retired to the living room floor with an armload of presents, and Mrs. Twining began clearing the table, Horace slipped quietly out into the yard, the boomerang in his hand. For a moment he stood there looking down at it. His familiarity with boomerangs was slight, his nearest approach to one having been a picture in his old school geography. He rubbed one hand along the polished curved surface, wondering if that stuff about boomerangs returning to the thrower was true. Well, curiosity would be satisfied by no less than a trial. He drew back his arm, sent the boomerang spinning into the air, watching it follow a straight course and fall to the ground over near the garage. Just as he thought, a lot of eyewash, that coming back theory. And yet, a moment later, Horace, urged on by a primal instinct that began with the eating of an apple in a certain garden, had left the yard and was standing at the far end of a big vacant lot a half block down the street. It probably took a harder throw. He'd have a try at it anyway. Twilight was thickening to darkness, which was just as well. Might not be too reassuring for a junior cashier in the town's leading bank to explain he was out boomeranging, or whatever the sport might be called. Folks might wonder.
His arm drew back, swung forward in a mighty heave. The boomerang soared into the air, end over end, then flattened, whirling out of sight as it described definitely a great curve around a towering maple tree. Horace uttered a delighted little cry, then had a sinking sensation. It had made the curve all right, but it was never coming back to him. It was heading straight for Judge Appleby's yard. He waited for the crash of glass, but none came to him. However, there was no complete comfort in that. The judge's family was at a resort for a couple of weeks, and he was staying there alone. And for sure, Horace couldn't go over to the door and say, pardon me, Judge, I just lost my boomerang in your backyard. Not with Judge Appleby, a director in the bank. He would decide Horace Twining was off his nut and do something about it quickly. No, his curiosity had played him false. He could only go back home and hope. Hope that neither Junior nor his mother would think of the fool boomerang again. Had Horace only known it, Judge Appleby would have welcomed a call about boomerangs or anything else. The judge was sitting at his library desk, staring white-faced into the muzzle of a gun, held in the thick hand of a man hunched forward in the chair opposite him, dimly outlined by the fading light that fell through the windows. And the judge was hearing, "Now, you didn't believe me 10 years ago when you were sending me up for a stretch in the state pen and I told you I'd get you for it someday. Well, I'm making good on that promise. I'm the guy who calls the deal this time. You're talking like a madman, Krasnick. Yeah, maybe I am stir-crazy. Guys get that way in the big house. Put that gun away. Before you, I'm putting it away when I finish with you, mister." The judge's eyes swept frantically around the room. He might make a bolt for the open French doors that led to the garden, but he knew he would never get there. No, better to take it facing the gun than in the back. All right, Appleby. This is it. He tried to cry out a last appeal, but the words were a tight knot in his throat. He closed his eyes against the blast that in a second would snuff out his life, strangely aware in his terror of the clean freshness of the night wind that blew back the drapes from the open door. Then he heard not the explosion of a gun, but a sharp cry of pain, the thud of a body falling to the floor, the crash of something hitting the desk. His eyes snapped open. The chair opposite was empty. The gun had fallen on the desk. His hand shot out to grasp it. He leaped out of the chair, circled the desk. On the floor, Krasnick was lifting himself on one elbow, blood trickling from a cut on his temple. But the judge was asking no questions. He was barking an order for Krasnick to stay where he was, while his free hand beat a tattoo on the telephone receiver cradle, and he shouted at Central to get the police there as fast as she could. The police sergeant stayed behind as Krasnick was finally taken out to the car. I still don't get what it was that clouded him on the head, Judge. Well, no more do I, Sergeant. I had my eyes closed when... Hey, Judge, what's this? The sergeant bent over to pick up an object from the floor. Huh? Well, I'll be doggone. It's a boomerang. Eh? Boomerang. Yeah. Well, sure. Look. He crossed to the open French doors. Yeah, must have come whizzing in this way and hit him. Oh, but who'd be out in my yard throwing boomerangs, Sergeant? Oh, these things carry a long ways, Judge. Yeah, long ways. Might have been thrown from clear across the street. Yeah, I know all about them. I made trips to Australia when I went to sea as a young fella. But would it knock a man off a chair? Oh, sure. A boomerang is a dangerous weapon. The sergeant stepped out into the yard. Yeah, now you hold it like this, see? Then you pull your arm back and you give it a throw like... Holy smokes, Judge! The thing slipped out of my hand! Well, it won't go very far, Sergeant. Far? We don't know how far it'll go. And suppose it busts a window or smashes into a car or maybe hits somebody on the head. Oh, look, Judge, this could be bad for me. A knowing smile lighted Judge Appleby's face. Yes, I see what you mean. And I think perhaps we might reach an understanding. We're the only ones who know about the boomerang. With an election coming up, be much nicer if people were given to understand I disarmed and captured Krasnick with my bare hands. Yes, and better for you if people didn't know that that you... Oh, sure, Judge. I'll forget the boomerang if you will. Their hands met in the darkness. The bargain of silence was sealed. Over in his backyard, Horace Twining drew a pan of fresh water for the dog. His thoughts were still on Junior's lost present from Uncle Ed. Sooner or later, questions were going to be asked. He'd have to think up some story to tell about what happened to it. He bent over to put the water in front of the dog's kennel. Then he was plunging forward, face down in the pan. Someone had sneaked up behind him and given him a good, swift kick. He stood up, sputtering. There was no one else in the yard. But confound it, someone or something... There on the grass in the light from the kitchen window
The boomerang. A queer feeling came over Horace. It was impossible. It couldn't be, yet there it was. But how? A half hour had passed since he threw it, and that was in a vacant lot way down the street. His feeling now was a sharp little tingle of fear. This was uncanny. It was eerie, as if the darn thing had been sailing around all that time looking for him so it could come back to him, and irritated by his faithlessness, given him a swift kick to show it didn't like to be trifled with. Gave him the feeling there was something alive about it, something awesome and threatening, as if the ghost of some aborigine inhabited the wood. He had picked it up gingerly, holding it between a thumb and forefinger, and it felt cold to his touch. Now the back door opened, and Mrs. Twining came out on the porch. For goodness sake, what are you doing with that boomeroo? Rang, my dear. Roo is the animal. Well, Roo or Rang, what are you doing with it? Planning to throw it at something and see if it'll come back to you? No, he shivered. No, my dear. I'm planning to put it in the ash can and let the men take it away in the morning. A boomerang is a far too dangerous an object to put in a small boy's hands. Boomerangs do come back, my dear. And don't ask me how I know. I just do. That's all.
Friends, I have some very interesting news for you coffee lovers tonight. You know, I've told you before about the grand feeling of satisfaction, the extra flavor lift you get from Edwards Coffee. But tonight I want to tell you that now you can get Edwards Coffee in a pulverized grind, specially prepared for Silex or other glass coffee makers. The new pulverized grind makes wonderful coffee, friends. Edwards Coffee, with all its delightful aroma and rich, full flavor. Because whatever the grind, Edwards' quality never varies. Every pound of Edwards coffee is blended and roasted under Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula. The choice coffee beans selected for the exclusive Edwards flavor are blended in small batches, not by weight, but by flavor, and roasted golden brown by the modern heated air thermalo process. And just when flavor is at its very finest, every pound is immediately ground and vacuum-packed to capture the full, rich coffee goodness. Try Edwards coffee. Take your choice of three different grinds, regular, drip, or the new pulverized. If you don't thoroughly enjoy Edwards' extra flavor lift, your money refunded. Edwards coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Well, boomerangs do come back, and so will Hal with another story for us next week. What's it to be, Hal?
Rusty Treadway hadn't been back to his college campus for 5 years. Not since the day old Professor John Prather flunked him off the team the day before a big game. This homecoming day, he returned, but with hatred in his heart. But a surprise awaited him in his meeting with the professor, and a bigger surprise for the man he hated. I call it Homecoming for Two, and I think it's a yarn you'll enjoy when I tell it in the newsroom next week. Good night.
Be sure to listen at the same time next week when the roar of the presses tells us it's time for another original short story written and told by Hal Burdick. This is Bill Baldwin saying goodnight for Edwards Coffee.
This is a National Broadcasting Company.